Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, look for us soon on various fan-sided properties. We'll tell you more about that partnership going forward for Five on the Floor. You can also check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. Get all of our content. We will be doing some live shows this week before and during the draft. And FiveReasonsSports.com. All of your written content without a paywall. The great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network mention this one all the time. It's Therapist Preferred. Get your premium CBD at Therapist Preferred. Use the code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN. You get 25% off the tincture, the gummies, the sports cream. It helps you recover. It helps you sleep. It's TherapistPreferred.com. The code, the discount code, 5. That's the number 5RSN. And now, tonight's episode. Down to Biscay.
Yeah, five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor. I am your host, Greg Sylvander. With me for tonight's episode, not Ethan Skolnick, not Brady Hawk, neither of which have internet. They're on that Broward County internet, I guess. That's the only differentiation I could make. So it's Alex Toledo and I. You can follow him on Twitter at Tropical Blanket. You can follow me at Greg Sylvander, yada, yada, yada. We got some stuff to get to. We're going to blast through a bunch of topics on tonight's episode. So we're going to try to be quick and efficient with our movement. Not a lot of horizontal east, west. It's going to be a lot of north, south, if you know what I'm talking about. So, the floor plan is essentially, I need to clarify something related to this Bradley Beal discussion that we had, because I didn't do show prep for that episode, and I was corrected, and there's some stuff to get to there. I want to talk about PJ Tucker opting out, dive into some news about Kyrie that came out of nowhere, a Mo Bamba report that came about. We'll get into that, and close with some favorite June 20th moments. So that's kind of where we're heading. But quickly, I want to clarify something. So we did the show yesterday about the viability of Bradley Beal coming to Miami, which there has been signals that there's just indications that Bradley Beal is very much in play in terms of his he's always been fond of Miami. I think Miami is going to aggressively pursue and all there essentially needs to be is a signal from him to get the ball rolling there. But I really was adamant that I thought Kyle Lowry needed to be included in that transaction. And one of our loyal listeners, and I appreciate very much this clarification because it dawned on me and it opened up the spectrum with which transactions could, like, the potential. So let me just breeze through this quickly. When I told Ethan I was going to go through and break this down and really get into the nitty gritty detail of it, he essentially cut internet out for his entire community because he refuses to be on an episode that dives into salary cap mechanics. Here we go. I was reminded by one of our listeners that the Pelicans, when they traded Jrue Holiday, they guaranteed Darius Miller $7 million. Then they signed Zylan Cheatham, Joshua Gray, and Kenrich Williams to 3-year deals, all of which were only first year guaranteed deals. Why did they do that? They did all that in an effort to make the outbound money match so that they could get the salary correct. And all they had to do is send those players to a third team that could absorb them into salary cap space. They got, which was Oklahoma City. And that's how Jrue Holiday got to Milwaukee. So that's informative because a lot of players that were impending free agents that maybe didn't know if they'd get vet minimum deals were happy to take contracts at slightly above the veterans minimum to be moved. And that opens up a whole can of worms with Miami. So how that relates to Miami, if Beal opts in, he'll be opting into $37 million. So no sign and trade stuff happening here. He's opting in and being traded in this potential Bradley Beal scenario. Kyle doesn't have to be involved. Why? Tyler and Duncan essentially get you to about $5 million away. And here's the kicker, folks. So you can sign and trade Victor Oladipo. You can sign and trade Dwayne Dedmon, which for his years of service, he could be signed and traded with only 1 year guaranteed, technically up to $11 million. He could count as salary in a trade. Obviously, there's some fine tooth comb stuff we could get into with where that money can be absorbed. But also, they have options on Yurtseven and Haywood Highsmith, which they could both get their options declined and then signed and traded as well. Oladipo is another example of that. So they can make the money match without Kyle Lowry. So I want everyone to be aware of that so that it's clear that the Heat actually have ways of getting Kyle Lowry, Bradley Beal, Jimmy Butler, and Bam Adebayo all on the same team. Alex, do you have anything to add to that? I just really wanted to clarify more for our listeners that there's absolutely ways that they can do it without including Kyle Lowry that I was blind to, but now I see.
Yep. And that was kind of what I was looking at yesterday when we did that pod on Beal, because I felt like, you know, we hadn't gone through it all the way yet. We hadn't gone into detail with it yet. And it feels like there's always more ways than one when it comes to the Heat finessing guys who maybe are way above the level of guys that usually you can finesse onto a team. They did it with Jimmy, where it's like you have absolutely no cap space. Doesn't matter. There are obstacles, but there are none. And so the obstacle that we originally thought here that, you know, having to trade Kyle Lowry a year after acquiring him, knowing he's Jimmy's guy, knowing he didn't actually really get a fair shot this playoffs in the sense that he wasn't healthy, was playing through an injury that he would have sat through if it was regular season. All of that felt like a big obstacle. So knowing that, you know, getting confirmed that they actually have multiple ways to go about a deal like this, right? Like, I think it's, like you said, they have multiple guys they can sign and trade, whether it's guys who are back-end rotation players or just rotation players in general, or guys who were not going to play, like Highsmith. I think Yurt could also be thrown into the picture here. He signed on for next season at a low level. I mean, at a small deal. So those are the types of guys that can be thrown in here. And I think that the Heat would do everything in their power to go all of these routes over, including Kyle Lowry in a deal. And it sounds obvious, but, you know, just to hammer that home, I also think that would be great because in a scenario like that, you'd be keeping Gabe, you'd be keeping Max. I think they would like to keep Depot. Obviously, if they had to pick between trading Depot or Lowry, I think they're going to keep Lowry, trade Depot. But there are ways to keep all the rotation players that everybody wants to keep while acquiring Beal. So I just think that's a really positive thing. If Beal opts in and he's really leveraging the Wizards to trade him, if that's the scenario he takes, then I think the Heat are in a great position. If it's a scenario where he opts out and tries to get the Supermax and get traded at another point, the Heat are, I think it's not favorable at all for the Heat. And I just think at this point, like, a lot of the things that you would want to hear as far as how you could acquire him, what the scenario would look like, it feels like the pieces of the puzzle are coming together a little bit. So I think that's a great thing for the Heat, right? Like, if you can grab a Beal without trading those other guys I named, like, I think that's huge.
Yeah. And so this is the other part. We'll close here and we're going to move on to the next thing. Cause it's an assist to the next topic. It was one thing to think about, like, Caleb Martin agreeing to a sign and trade and Bradley Beal picking Miami. But when you're talking about multiple guys needing to sign off on getting signed and traded to different locations, because, mind you, Washington can't take in these incoming players. They would need to find a cap space team to take in the incoming players. There's just a lot of people that have to make decisions, and all those decisions have to align at the right time in order to execute the transaction. It could be like, literally, you may have six to seven
round pick, like that scenario you brought up, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, you could have six or seven players that need to make a decision about their future in concert to get a trade done between three teams if it's a multiple team deal. So again, this is not easy stuff. I don't mean to come across on this podcast as we clarify the Lowry inclusion for Bradley Beal stuff as now it's like some easy transaction to make happen, but there's avenues. So I thought that was informative. And definitely wanted to make sure our listeners were on the up and up there. If you're a subscriber to Off the Floor, you would have got that this morning. So check that out. It's our Winnow tech subscription, $3.05 a month. It's super cool. You get upfront draft rumors, free agency rumors, any kind of stuff we're listening to, stats, game analysis. So check that out. It's my pinned tweet and also the pinned tweet on the Five on the Floor account. So the other thing that came about today was that PJ Tucker declined his $7.4 million player option. He's going to test free agency. I don't think that's a surprise. I mentioned recently that I've heard Philadelphia is willing to go as high as their non-taxpayer mid-level. I think that's about $6.3 million or so. Tucker, obviously, he started 71 games, started all 18 in Miami's postseason run, was one of the bright spots throughout the playoffs, played through injury. I don't think there's any way he's leaving. This is him opting out so that he can just, it's a basically a formality in terms of him being able to get his percent increase. So I am not concerned at all here. PJ Tucker was filmed today wearing a Tim Hardaway jersey, getting some dope artwork from Duncan Robinson that he was going to hang above his locker in the Miami Heat locker room today as he's opting out. If that tells you how arbitrary and very administrative the opt-out process is in terms of his future, Alex, is there anything that we should worry about? Is there any team that you're looking at that you're like, oh no, they'll go full mid-level for 3 years? Because I think Miami, Brian Goins, hat tip to him. Bear with me. I want to bring this up because it is good information for our audience. Bear with me. It's worth it. Trust me.
You brought up, I think that the Heat can offer as much as 3 years, about $26 million.
Was it. Thank you. Perfect. So that's essentially what Miami, I think, is going to offer. They'll give them the full 3 years, lots of stability, still a good number. A team could come in with the full non-taxpayer mid-level that starts at $10 million and go over 3 years and I guess get to 330 and beat that deal. I don't see PJ Tucker leaving over that. Do you?
No. And also, I do think, like, if, you know, like, it's the agent's job to field those offers and essentially, you know, try to get the best offer out of whatever team is out there, even if it's not a team or a scenario that's as nice as the Heat. They're going to use it against the Heat as leverage. And that's, you know, can't blame PJ's agent for doing his job. And if they were to get an offer that's full mid-level over this the same amount of years, because it sounds like it's going to be three, which I don't know is something that we would have talked about. It's not something we really talked about much throughout the season as far as how long does PJ get re-signed for. I've made it clear. I think they need him. He's right to leverage them if he decides to, and him and his agent decide to, because it's clear the both sides need each other. He's made to be a Heat player. I think he's going to retire here, and it just makes too much sense. And so even if he got that full mid-level offer from whatever other team would give it to him, I think that he would do it. I think that he would give the full mid-level. I obviously don't, I'm not the one with the inside information here, but I think, like, comparing letting PJ walk to another team for what type of player they can get with the full mid-level this offseason, like, I don't think that's a good gamble for the Heat to take. And I don't believe that they would actually do that. Like, I believe they would match. I from everything I've heard from Spo, Riley, Jimmy, Bam, Kyle, everybody who you would think has influence or whatever within the organization, it seems like they're all in on PJ. So I would be shocked if the Heat let him walk because another team got a full mid-level offer, even though you would want him to just take the percent increase because it's more favorable to the Heat's cap situation. I think if it comes to it, you give him the full mid-level. PJ Tucker, that's a Heat lifer, man. I think you got to keep him.
You're right. So Riley called him a core piece. I really hope that he takes that 3 year, $26 million, just a little shave under that mid level because of the ability that Miami would have to fortify his position and maybe giving him a younger, innings eater for the regular season could kind of have him fresh for the playoffs. So he could, you know, just by saving a little bit of money, PJ, we could get you some reinforcements on the bench. But you're right.
Just to be clear.
And then as he ages, to your point, 3-year deal, like let's say that year three, he just falls off a cliff physically because of his age, whatever. He could slide into the UD role. I think that that's perfect for him. So I'm all about it. I think give him that security of the 3 years. I think that they would go to the full mid level. I think they really are not going to want to, but similar to when Bam wanted his extension, they did right by him. I think they would also do right by PJ, provided that it didn't hinder any larger transaction that we don't know about yet. But they're going to do whatever it takes to keep PJ Tucker in Miami, because if he were to walk, for everything that this team needs going forward, for Jimmy Butler, for this build, for the way that it works with Bam Adebayo, losing him would be a disaster. And when a disaster strikes in your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael Robert and their team are prepared to handle any size disaster. Their guys are third-generation contractors in South Florida, so continuing to maintain their sterling reputation is extremely important to them. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed building contractor, so they provide A to Z one-stop shopping service for any busy homeowner, business owner. You know, you require one, you want to go to one place. Michael and his team, that's your team. They'll handle it all for you. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell, 954-579-0356. Again, that's Water Cleanup of Florida. Call Michael anytime, 954-579-0356. If you got the schmutz, they got the guts. So as we kind of go around the PJ Tucker stuff, I realized we just went into the ad because the disaster just was perfect timing there. And at the same time, I can capitalize on that. I'm going to do so. You got any other PJ Tucker thoughts before we go to these next two topics? One of them is going to be quicker than the other. So we're going to wrap quicker than usual, likely on this back half of the segment. But any other PJ Tucker thoughts, Alex?
That's on me, too, for mudding things up here, just because I was looking through some lineup data while you were doing the ad read there. And PJ Tucker, man, like, he's one of those guys where you saw all these other role players' production and shooting fall off in the playoffs, and not to slight them, because I do think a lot of them, you know, played really above what they were supposed to, at least coming into the season. You know that the Heat internally had high hopes for a lot of these guys that ended up coming through, but you know, they played way above expectations. And the PJ thing, just to kind of support what we were talking about before, as far as giving that man whatever he asked for, at the end of the day, just to throw that in there, the Heat were a lot better with him on the floor than without. And that ended up being true in the playoffs and in the regular season for both, right? And I think that's something that can't be said for other role players, right, where it's like they're much better with him on than without. They were, just to have it up here, plus 5.22 with him on the floor in the playoffs, plus 6 in the regular season. And his shooting, like, although it wasn't a big factor in the Celtics and it kind of fell off at the end with him hurt and not playing in the, you know, most important half of the season, which sucks. I know he wanted to be out there. I know Spo would have been playing him even if he was hurt. And if he was available, I believe Spo would have played him there over either Gabe or Depot. I think they believe and rely on him that much. His shooting never fell off, right? Like, you know, he's not a real shooter, but he's going to make those open threes that he gets, the release foul threes. And that was also the case in the regular season, in the playoffs. So between that and everything we already know that he does, that we've talked about all season, defensively on the boards, boxing out, screening for all their shooters, like, he, you know, and especially, you know, he showed out more this season as a guy coming off when, you know, when they send two at a shooter, getting the floater, making plays off the dribble. He's 37 years old and showing you stuff that he wasn't really showing you before. So I just think that's a guy who deserves to get paid. And whether it's eye test, whether it's the data, PJ Tucker, they need him.
Yes, they do. And I think the first to report that PJ Tucker was opting out was Shams. And he also dropped some news earlier today On The Athletic about Kyrie Irving. Multiple sources tell The Athletic that conversations about Irving's future have gone stagnant between him and the Nets. An impasse currently exists among the parties, and that clears the way for the seven-time All-Star to consider the open marketplace, those sources said. Some of the interested teams noted in the article, the Lakers, the Knicks, the Clippers. This became a topic of conversation in Miami Heat land because of Jimmy Butler once saying that if there was any player in the league he could play with, who would it be? He essentially went to Kyrie, said he loved his game. We know that Kyrie and Jimmy have long been friends. They both very much think differently in different ways, frankly, but they think differently and they go against the crowd in a lot of different ways. So it doesn't surprise me that those two would gravitate to each other. I think that, and I know Miami has checked in on Kyrie in the past and been interested. They love his game. Who the hell doesn't love his game? I got to be honest, like watching Kyrie Irving play basketball is unbelievably fun. Ethan hates covering him. Just generally speaking, I think because of whatever comes with it, but I think the on the court stuff is magical. The Heat were not mentioned here, but everybody immediately pointed to Jimmy and said, yo, like if Jimmy loves Kyrie, why wouldn't they go get Kyrie? Alex, tell me why you think Kyrie. So he, full disclosure, he's one of my favorite fits in Miami next to Bam and Jimmy. If you're saying like go around, go find a guy that would maximize them and then have two shooters with him, like that's Kyrie is kind of the model to me. Am I wrong? Do you feel differently? I don't think Kyrie is going to end up in Miami necessarily at all. Like that's not where I'm going with this. It's more about the archetype of the player that I think would really thrive in that. What do you see?
Well, it's hard to disagree there. Like, I think maybe you could have conversations about whether or not you prefer like some of these other guys we talked about as a fit with Jimmy and Bam and Kyle, whether like it's Beal or Mitchell, you know, positionally they're shooting guards. So just off of that, it's cleaner because it feels like Kyle and Kyrie is small, but really Donovan is also a small player, right? So I think for what we're talking about, like Kyrie is a guy who I would look over these quote unquote fit things, right? And all the stuff that already comes with him, understanding that, right? Because it's not nothing, right? The fact that he has missed around 30-40% of games for the past few years, has had questionable results, even though he had that legendary performance in the finals and stepped up big in the playoffs before. Absolute bucket getter, one of the best handles we've ever seen. Like, of course, that's the type of guy who would thrive here, especially with the type of guys that the Heat would surround him with. Definitely think he would thrive here. I just don't take it at all seriously. It felt like a huge smokescreen. It felt like Kyrie leaking it out to make sure that the Nets pay up, right? Because I was looking at the numbers for what that Kyrie deal would look like if the Nets were to give him everything that he could get that he's eligible for. And it's a lot of money. It's like Jimmy's deal, more or less, right? Where it gets into the mid and upper 40s. It's looking like a Russell Westbrook type of contract. And I get why the Nets will balk a little bit at the idea of paying him all the way. But I think it's kind of juvenile, I think, if they actually let that get to a point where Kyrie is seriously fielding other offers, which, again, I'm not really expecting that to happen. The Lakers and Knicks don't seem like real suitors at all. I don't know how that would make sense. So again, all of it feels like a smokescreen, and I think eventually the Nets are going to pay maybe not the full max, but it'll be something very close to the max for Kyrie, and I don't think it's going to become a real thing. And just to also throw some more context onto the whole Jimmy thing, I believe that him and Jimmy are cool. Jimmy's cool with a lot of guys. That's one guy who is the Jimmy relationship and not the Bam relationship, but that's because they played together in Team USA 2016. And then he was quoted as saying that the one that you threw in earlier, I believe it was a year after in 2016, 2017. And then we haven't heard too much of the smoke about Kyrie and Jimmy ever since, but that's because Kyrie clearly had his own plans, right? He did the Boston thing, then did the Brooklyn thing. I don't believe that project is over yet. I think it's just Kyrie trying to get his money.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And when I was like fawning over Kyrie with Bam and Jimmy, it was under the assumption that Kyle probably wouldn't be here because that backcourt does not work. Kyle and Kyrie. I guess some would have some would disagree with me, but I just think defensively, that's a tough sell. But yeah, to your point, I think he ends up staying. How the hell are Kyrie and KD going to go to Brooklyn? I swear I read that they didn't even really communicate with Brooklyn, like throughout that process. Like they just didn't even meet with them necessarily. They just picked the team and went there. And that was that. It was very, very much transactional versus
give it a year with Simmons. And I think then maybe if it goes really ugly again, maybe that stuff will really heat up.
Yeah, that's what I agree. Like for them to just abandon that, I don't see Kyrie dipping out on KD. So I'm with you. I don't see much Miami smoke there. But it's just always something I think every Heat fan always wants to explore every avenue. I think the Heat has other plans, frankly. Another report that popped up today was from the NBA editor of Heavy.com, Sean Devaney. I think that's how you say his last name. I'm always worried that I'm going to butcher people's last names. It's probably because I have like PTSD because Sylvander was mispronounced. And then my middle name, Leif, that I went by in elementary school and other grade school was mispronounced. So I have like some kind of PTSD about that. But Sean Devaney reported that Mo Bamba, that rival execs view the Miami Heat as a potential landing spot for Mo Bamba. So let me get a couple things clear. And then Alex, you can tell me why you like Mo Bamba or you don't. One, this is contingent upon Orlando not extending a qualifying offer to Mo Bamba that would make him a restricted free agent. It's essentially would make him unrestricted if they rescind a qualifying offer or just never offer one right off the bat. Then he would be unrestricted. Then it's fair game. I do not see Miami paying more than the non-taxpayer mid-level amount, not using that exception, folks, but just the $6.3 million that you would allocate to that exception. I do not see them paying more than that for a player like Mo Bamba, and they probably would rather do the biannual number of about $4 million for Mo Bamba. I don't know that either one of those are going to be enough to get him. But I haven't heard a ton of Mo Bamba in the circles that I get information from. I don't know that Ethan has either, frankly, if I'm speaking for him. So this is very much something in the preliminary stages for me conceptually. How do you like it as an on-court fit? What do you think his value in the marketplace will be in free agency? Just kind of pick your brain on Mo Bamba.
So I think it's an interesting name. For sure. And I think like as a backup five option, it's a pretty good idea. And I think it gets a little tricky because like I'm not here to talk down on Deadman. I'm not here to talk down on Omer. I get why people would be in on the idea of Bamba over both of those guys right now. It's like a win now, ironically enough, backup five move, right? Like because he's only 24 years old and he actually struggled a lot coming out as a top pick. What was he, the fifth pick in the draft when wherever the Magic got him? I remember the conversation like before that draft that some for a good while there was Aiden or Bamba as far as who was the best big in that draft. Aiden ended up going number one and we know what happened, but Bamba finally had a good year last season after struggling and even playing for a team like the Magic who were completely out of the playoff picture. Whereas like those other seasons, he was backing up Vucevic and they were kind of like an eighth or ninth seed type of team. They were completely out of there. Basically a tanking type team at the bottom of the standings. And despite that, that advanced stuff still looks good for him and supports that he had a really nice year, you know, compared to what he was before. Not that he's some all-star level player now or any huge piece that you would add, but as a backup five and somebody who seems like a stretch big, he seems like he could really fit that archetype with the type of 7-foot frame he has at that age. It seems like it could be a move worth looking into. And that's the thing, because he's already getting paid 10 mil off that rookie scale deal from how high he got drafted. And it's like, does he want to raise? Does he want the full mid level? Because I don't think the Heat would want to be giving him that, even though could make a case that other teams will. I don't know if that, you know, that actually happens or not, but I think he's definitely worth paying what you're talking about there, around 6 mil of the Heat's mid level. Allocated to him. I like the idea. He shot 38% from three last season on four attempts, again, for a bad team. His rebounding numbers, as far as rebounding rate, better than I thought, right? Because I did not consider him a good rebounder, but he ranks pretty highly. And actually, the past few seasons, when it comes to whenever he's on the floor, he rebounds pretty well. And he actually had a lot more minutes this season than the past few. So everything points to him kind of starting to actually be a positive player now. And so it might be worth it.
Listen, Mo Bamba in 15 games in March in Orlando, in 24 minutes, was getting 12 points, shot 48% from three in the month of March on four attempts, to your point. Has always been able to rebound, block shots. You can make a case for him. I'm looking at March because I always feel like any of these impending free agents, it's always super interesting to go look at the numbers right before they, it's like the last thing that everyone's going to get to see. And he shot really well in the five games in April too, before their season ended.
11-8 for the year. That's what it was for the season, at least.
I'm open-minded to Mo Bamba. Let's do it, but we're not going to overpay Mo Bamba. And we got bigger whales to fry, if you can fry a whale.
And if you were to spend, just to go into that scenario, since we're talking about it, because you're talking about the $6 million coming out of the full mid-level, right? That amount coming.
It could. Or it could be if you, like, let's say you end up projecting yourself as a tax team, then you only spend $6.3 million of it, so that when next summer comes around and you need to basically roll up your books, you can roll it into the into the taxpayer mid-level exception if you project to be a tax team versus the non-taxpayer, which you have access to this year, but you don't want to get in a spot where you then are going to be a tax team and you've paid more than that because you don't have the exception to fit it under. It gets weird and it's hard for me to articulate it. So I think like the $6 million range is, I guess, the easiest way to just put a number on it. I don't think the Heat would pay him more than $6 million annually. So if another team's going to offer more than that, he's going to go elsewhere. And I mean, it'd be fun if they did this on Prize Picks, like Mo Bamba, $6 million per year, over or under. What would you take, Alex?
Over.
Over?
In the fact, see, that he's 24, was drafted high. I think a team, like a team that's not even trying to contend, will be like, yeah, we'll give him a little bit more.
Yeah, see, they're not doing free agency decisions, and I understand why. That would be a funny angle. But Prize Picks, it's my favorite daily fantasy app. Pick your over or under on player props and you win up to 10 times your cash. Go to prizepicks.com. Super easy to get started. You got big payouts. They have paid out over $300 million. I mean, they have blown up. You can win up to 10 times your cash, as I mentioned earlier, on a single entry. They have 24/7 live support, fast and secure withdrawals. It's all super legit, easy to do. It is by far the best daily fantasy app. You pick your favorite players, pick your favorite stats, choose, look at the numbers set for them, like points per game or points in a game. Let Jimmy Butler, 20 points. You're going to go over or under. You use the code 5 when you sign up and you'll get your deposit matched up to $100. So it's super easy. Go to prizepicks.com, download the app Prize Picks, use the code 5FIVE to get 100% of your deposit matched. And it's available in 30 states, DC and Canada. So, I mean, they are expanding. They are blowing up, rightfully so. All right, we're closing here pretty quickly. Final thoughts on anything we didn't touch on, but keeping it concise so that Ethan doesn't yell at us for going too long. But also, Alex, I would love to hear, you see, this is June 20th. We're recording this. June 20th is an important day in Miami Heat history. 2006 championship, the 2013 championship, both won. What are your favorite moments from both runs? Thoughts on those runs? All that good stuff.
Well, I think I don't remember who put it up on the poll today saying which one was more memorable. Was it Sean on the Biscayne Bay Brewing account?
It was.
Shout out to him. It was a good poll because it made me think for a little bit, because both were magical for different reasons. And we know the moments that stand out from those two, so I'm not even going to go over that. All I'm going to say is 2006, that is the run that made me seriously fall in love with basketball, because that was I become a Heat fan. I don't know, around 8 years old. Before that, a year before, and you know, Wade and Shaq were the guys, of course. But that run was it was magical, because it didn't feel like they were the team that was supposed to be there. They had lost to the Pistons the year before, and it felt like, you know, they were the big bad guys waiting for you at the end, or at least that's how it seemed from my perspective back then. And they were always in the conference finals back then. They got past them, and then they, you know, had that magical coming back from down 0-2 versus the Mavs in the finals. And it was awesome. The fact that they were able to do that, witnessing that as a kid was awesome. I'm sure everybody has fond moments over it. I mean, fond memories over it. Everybody reveres Dwayne like others do, you know, Kobe in LA or Jordan in Chicago. I'm sure Wade gets all his love and respect here, but it's not like we get a chance to talk about him often here on Five on the Floor anymore. So I'm going to bring him up because that was just awesome. And I think ever since that, and ever since the LeBron runs, it's gotten so many of us so spoiled, man. So we had so many magical moments, and now we want a new star every year so we can have more of them, because it's so damn they feel so damn good. So both of those runs were great. I guess other than what we talked about today, interested to see what happens with the Pacers guys, specifically Brogdon. He weren't named there in the report that was out there today, but I think that's a guy that I would definitely be interested. And yeah, of course, the other fours that may or may not be out there, but we'll tackle Brogdon and those fours, I'm sure, in other episodes. So I'll save my thoughts on those guys going forward.
Yeah, no, we got time. We'll definitely hit up the front court guys in the trade market, particularly some of the more gettable guys. And then obviously update as we go on any of the developments as we get information or as reports take place. For me, the reason why June 20th is dope is that there's a couple reasons. One, Pat Riley with the "I only packed one shirt, one suit, one tie."
Stories are so good.
Like, he knew he was going there to win on that day, and that was it. And then also, like, this is the thing that made it cool, and why it was immediately like a talking point for Heat fans, particularly of the historian fashion like myself, is that Shaq said in the post game, like, they're on the court celebrating, and he said, "Pat Riley told us on June 20th, we was going to be NBA champions." And that was after they were 0-2. He said to them, "On June 20th, you'll be NBA champions." Like, that was like, that's goosebump stuff. Like, for Heat fans, for the Miami Heat to have that kind of allure around them. And it's just was super dope. So that is definitely, when I think back on my favorite moment, it's tied to that stuff. 2013 title. I feel like the game 7 that made June 20th the championship clincher gets overshadowed by Ray Allen's shot, and it was such an amazing basketball game. Don't forget about game 7. Shout out to game 7. But yes, the Alex is holding up the 0506 NBA Champions DVD. I would highly recommend it. Maybe not in DVD that, like, format anymore. Times. You could probably get it in some digital format.
You probably watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, you could probably watch it on YouTube. Word up. But yeah, that's it for me.
Who are constantly begging for a star and are constantly putting themselves in the position of paranoia and setting themselves up for disappointment if there's not a big acquisition. Watch that. Go watch that. You know, maybe once or twice. Run it back. You know, like you guys like to say.
Yeah,
inject it into your veins and get some damn guts.
Use it like ASMR. It's like that, where you, like, it calms you down, and that it's good stuff. All right,
there's great stuff on that DVD. Highly recommend it.
We got the draft coming up this week. Free agency follows behind it. We'll have you covered for all of it. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Fire Regional Sports Network.